We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz.
The members of Congress who voted for reform stood with the millions of Americans who lost their jobs, their homes, their businesses, and their savings as a result of this crisis.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner speaking this week on the new regulations that will dramatically expand the government's oversight of the financial industry, a legislative victory for President Obama, but not necessarily a political one. James Fallows of The Atlantic is here to offer some context, as he does most Saturdays. Hi, Jim.
Greetings, Guy. Nice to talk to you.
Jim, financial overhaul, arguably the second most significant piece of legislation that President Obama has pushed through Congress since assuming office. And yet it's fair to say he's not really reaping many benefits from it.
No, he isn't in the short term. And I think the long-term effect of the Obama presidency, whether it's one term or two, will be affected by these two big bills he's passed so far, the health reform and this financial reform and the climate bill that he's still working on. But in the short term, it still is the case that the most important variable for political success is the unemployment rate. And I think that in a way, the president's situation is very much like that of Ronald Reagan in 1982, when President Reagan was able to get through a number of his big tax cut and other measures. But the unemployment rate was really bad then, and so he suffered in the 82 midterm elections, his party did, and that seems at the moment to be the prospect for the Democrats.
And I noticed that President Obama's poll ratings are almost identical to Ronald Reagan's in 1982.
Yes, and I think the overall situation is very much like that of Ronald Reagan in 1982. I mean, you can't say, therefore, Barack Obama will be reelected, therefore the course will be just like the Reagan presidency. But I think the iron law of politics we see illustrated here is that absent 9/11-type attacks or other true national emergencies, the variable that matters most in a president's popularity and that of his party is the unemployment rate. And since unemployment is so serious a problem now and hasn't really been getting better for a while, that's the main political reality for the president and the Democrats.
Jim, obviously I've alluded to this already, but I wonder what you make of this idea that the more the Obama administration actually accomplishes, right, for better or worse, depending on your perspective, the more it creates this perception of either an overzealous government or simply a gridlocked, incompetent one. How do you sort of explain that?
Well, I think that many aspects of America seem more vital and self-renewing than its governing structure does right now. We've talked about the gridlock in the Congress and all the rest. I think that the challenge for this administration now is that the perception that the government is doing too much by the main president's main critics, he probably is not going to make that any worse by trying to get some of these reforms through, whether it's health or finance or climate bill or whatever, because that perception is already there. And so probably the best thing he has to work with is at least the offsetting sense of competence and effectiveness for his base. So I imagine that's the way they are trying to proceed.
Jim, earlier this week, Richard Holbrooke, who of course is the U.S. envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan, testified in front of a Senate panel on Afghanistan. He was asked whether there was a Vietnam parallel, which must have struck a nerve with him, given that Holbrooke, of course, was a young diplomat in Vietnam.
This was a riveting moment of the testimony. Richard Holbrooke, of course, has had a very prominent career in American and world affairs since the early 60s when he was a young Foreign Service officer in Vietnam. And he said, senators, this is very different from the situation in Vietnam because this time in Afghanistan, our national security is at stake. Now, what, of course, was so striking about that is that back in the 1960s when similar hearings were being held, the argument about why the United States needed to stay and prevail in Vietnam was exactly that. That America's national security was at stake. So it was both a sign of how much history has changed and, to my mind, a sense of the changing politics and reality of Afghanistan, that essentially that was the crux of the argument. So many things seem to be going poorly in Afghanistan now. And his final argument was it simply is too important to our national security. We can't leave.
Finally, Jim, I have to ask you about this strange case of the Iranian Shahram Amiri. He returned to Iran this week after claiming to have been abducted by the CIA. Now, for months, the CIA had denied all of these rumors of this guy's existence. Now that he's come out, the CIA is just singing, basically saying he volunteered all of this information. He was a valuable resource. Do you get the sense that this was bungled by U.S. intelligence?
you know, anything is possible, and it will take a long time, if ever, before we know what really went on here. I think the only definite news I have from this episode is that a wonderful novel published last year by David Ignatius of the Washington Post called The Increment, which was based on just this kind of scenario, a young Iranian defector from the nuclear program who may or may not be playing for one side or the other. That novel has new life. And as for the underlying reality, who knows?
That's James Fellows. He writes for The Atlantic. He's also with us regularly on this program. Jim, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Guy.